It's Wednesday, the 18th of July, 2012. I'm Alex Jones. Strap yourselves in for another original edition of InfoWars Nightly News. And by the way, I have decided to join Obama. I will be worshiping Lenin and Kim Jong-il coming up. Stay with us.
Tonight, Alex Jones speaks with Heliophant.com's Louis Lefebvre, the director of the controversial animation that exposes the archetypes of the New World Order. Then, deputies gun down a man in his own home after knocking on the wrong door. Plus, Obama's birth certificate is without a doubt a fraudulent document, according to Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for 17 years, I have believed in liberty and freedom and small government and rugged individualism. But Obama, my president, taught me that entrepreneurs are trash. They didn't build anything. You're a great artist, sports, literature, an auto mechanic, somebody that worked extra hours to be successful. You're the problem. You didn't build anything. Government did. And I realized, it just hit me. Government has done such a great job all over the world. In fact, the bigger the government, the more wonderful things are. So come total state, come. I want to be assimilated now by the corporate Borg. So we're going to take you to a clip of our dear, gracious, wondrous Father Obama, who just provides for us out of the cornucopia of his loins, I guess. And I just want to thank him and, well, go to the gracious leader explaining to us that it's not just the bitter clingers that have Bibles and guns that are the problem. It's these small businesses. So I'm now going to fully put my support behind Obama. You saw my endorsement yesterday. It's up at InfoWars.com. But endorsement isn't enough. One must worship the state to truly join with it.
Oh, yes. Oh, the moment is coming. Oh, government. Oh, Lenin, Stalin, Mao. Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-il.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so then all the companies could make money off the internet.
You've just seen our dear leader, our gracious leader, His Excellency President Barack Obama. That's how he's addressed at the UN. Say that entrepreneurs, people that start businesses, people that write novels, that paint beautiful paintings, you didn't do jack crap. The state did. The state impregnated your mother. The state hung the moon. The state is the arbiter of all that's good. And I decided to join Team Obama and the other crony capitalists like Mitt Romney, his VP candidate in the Obama campaign. I have decided to get with the program and realize that Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, Julius Caesar, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Lenin, Stalin, Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez takes family businesses and gives them to party members and just takes over their property. And I started realizing that's like really good. That's wonderful. I mean, total government states, once they take over, are so incredible they can't even have factories or electricity or cars that run. I always love the cars in North Korea. Maybe we can pull some of those up behind me here. You know, they have like 57 Chevys and old Lincolns and stuff from the 60s and 70s and 50s. I mean, that's so like retro and cool. I mean, I love the fact that more and more America is like Mexico or North Korea or Nigeria or Eastern Europe, where there's like cops and checkpoints and machine guns and dogs and like internal checkpoints and TSA when you want to fly, and the IRS is saying they won't let you out of the country if they say you owe money. And I began to realize this really is what produces heaven. And that George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all these people were pieces of trash. I mean, they didn't understand really how beautiful it all was. So I thought I'd put some of my heroes, some of my personal heroes here on screen. Obama, if you know history like I do, it's kind of evil I should be watched and I'm informed and read. I mean, Pol Pot was an authoritarian. He killed anybody that could even read or write. That was a good move, so I think they should probably get rid of me. But there's Obama. And Obama has again said the state is God. Stalin said that. Mao said that. And Kim Jong-un, I mean, what an amazing individual. I mean, just look at that leadership. Power hereditarily given to him. That's the people's government. Because you read the rights and freedoms on paper in North Korea, it's amazing. I mean, they've created a heavenly place where millions die every few years from starvation. And I just thought that I would not believe in the Golden Rule anymore, and then I would start worshiping the state, which is the new religion in America and the new way and the new American dream, because Obama said so. So I just want to turn and bow and just thank the total state for everything it's done. I appreciate you, everything you do, and I await the day when it's a total state. And when I am assimilated, I will take all the vaccines. I will deliver my family to the TSA. I will take all the Prozac and things you push at me. And I want to pay 100% taxes. And I worship black uniforms. I worship police dogs. I love everything you do. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything you do. Thank you for all you do. It is truly, you are what makes our world go round. And I want to apologize to you, gods of the state, forever denying that. So please, I know you'll probably still destroy me and crush me because I'm not worthy of worshiping you properly. And that itself is a great honor. Please, one does not look directly at you. I understand that. Oh, let me avert my eyes. Whew, man, just even staring into those eyes or. I mean, just look at that satisfied look right there. That's a good person. Come on. I mean, you know, the Chinese say he killed 80 plus million. Our government says 60 plus million. But I mean, come on, this is the state. I mean, look at that. We've got a collection of cream gravy right there that the people suckle from. And then Pol Pot, funded by our own State Department to kill about 30% of the population over there. So that's basically it. And I think from time to time, we're going to start recognizing the American dream is to have Stalin and Mao merge together in the personage of Obama or whoever else they put in. And so that's what it's all about. So thank you, great leaders. And I'm going to throw it back now to myself. Alex, are you ready? Because you're on, buddy. And remember, be respectful. You're being watched. The NSA is listening, punk. Punk, the new Alex, you promised. Okay, I'm going to trust you. Thank you, Alex. Wow. You know, now that I've joined Obama and endorsed him, I got a call from the Washington Post today, interview. Perhaps it'll be a positive report about me now that I support total state, that I support merging with the government and all the milk and honey that disgorges from it. All these years, I was a renegade and extremist, a bad person, but now I realize corporate welfare, general welfare, there's no mafias, there's no cliques. I mean, there are, but they're not mafias, they're not cliques, it's not monopoly, you know, crony corruption, it's the worship of Boss Hogg and everything cute and lovable about him, but on steroids. You know, Boss Hogg running giant war machines and drones blowing up wedding parties. I was always repulsed by like Lenin and Hitler and Stalin and Mao and just the crazed look of the soldiers in North Korea when they're oppressing people. But now I realize that that they were just enlightened and filled with the spirit of beauty and creativity. I mean, look at how cool North Korea is. I mean, it's a blessing they can't manufacture any cars on their own and drive 57 Chevys around. I mean, it's like a cool parallel universe, and they sell little dead children in the markets, Vanity Fair even reported, because they, for the wealthy to eat. I mean, I think, that's like so cool. I mean, the state gives you everything. And in North Korea, about half the population is raised in these slave farms, but freedom farms. And they put the men and women together just to breed and take the children like you take eggs from a hen and send them to other re-education centers so that there's no family. They're even eradicating that. It's beautiful. Oh God, it's so beautiful. I don't know what's happened. I'm beginning to realize just how wonderful the all state is, the total state. And I agree with the churches that teach Romans 13. All government is God. Government is God. In fact, I forgot to cover this during my worship session. Can you guys bring me the linen bib, please? Please, Rob, do. Be reverent with it. Oh, this is VI linen. I mean, you know, he liberated more than 20 million people, many of them children, who they lined up and shot or starved to death from their evil, you know, kulak, you know, little farming families that didn't want to be communist. I mean, they really tortured and murdered them as well. I just realized it's so good. So I think I'll just do the rest of the show here with this holy bib. Maybe we can bring in a roasted child and I'll dine on it right here. Because, you know, in China, this is on record. During the Cultural Revolution, when they collectivized the population and 60-plus million died in just a few years' spans, the military survived off putting dead bodies in big giant stew pots. And that was the meal for quite a long time. And of course, the delicacy, again, was boiled roasted children. And you thought that was just in Conan the Barbarian, where they have big stew pots. No. So, I mean, there's nothing like a linen bib. It's actually not a linen bib. But these would be hung in all good party members' homes, and when they drop by, you know, in Russian, this says our technology, our food, you know, basically everything is through our loving linen. And I mean, it is like Obama told us. Like Obama told us, everything comes from the state. That's why you're successful. When you get up in the morning, when birds tweet, the state did it. That's why I just want to be reverent with this right now. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so good. I love the government and all the special interests that control it, that exempt themselves from our laws through globalism. Will you please put that back in the reverent area we have hanging above the urinals? Thank you. All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Oh, maybe I should do the news tonight from the perspective of an Obama supporter. In fact, let's do that right now for the rest of the evening. First off, national security threat. Obama's birth certificate proven fraudulent. Now, back when I was a terrorist, I went and looked at it, and you know, it said African American and stuff. That wasn't used till the mid-80s on birth certificates. But just ignore that. It was in all these layers, and the coding was different, and they used fonts that are from popular computer fonts that mimic a typewriter. They were not individual strikes as typewriters. But that doesn't matter now, because just like Winston in 1984 realizes that there is no gravity, 2 plus 2 equals 20, whatever the state says, I feel like a winner because I love the all state. Again, the all state is my king. So I think Sheriff Opio is bad. I think he is an extremist. And I think Joseph Farah is bad to question this. I mean, sure, he now admits his name was really Barry Sotero and his records are secret. And they'd always, you know, in his own literature from his publicist for 16 years, he said he was born in Kenya and his wife says it on video. But the lies, I mean, the truth was so deep. It turned out that was just a cover story with the fact that he's Frank Marshall Davis, the famous communist son. And that's covered in that evil film we sell, free market, and InfoWarsShop.com. Bream's my real father. But again, Sheriff, Arpaio challenges George Lopez to meeting after Lopez tirade. And Arpaio said he'd like to have him to come down. He says, get some guts. Come down here and meet me face to face. Let's see how you act then, Arpaio, known as America's toughest sheriff, told ABC News affiliate. So, again, Opio is evil. President Obama arrives in San Antonio. Oh, this was so gracious. Everyone was being taught, not just that government bureaucrats get to go ahead of you and not be groped or liberated, your children as well by the TSA, your wife, items they liberate, they evacuate from your bags. When they check your water and food past the checkpoints, that's good to make you submit and learn to worship government. When Obama came to San Antonio, they locked down half the city. There were traffic jams for 5 hours yesterday. Beautiful. Then he came to Austin, shut down I-35, shut down downtown. We have some footage. We're going to have a full report tonight about how gracious this was. When they shut down most of downtown, side streets, Congress, 35, huge traffic jams, so he could collect money. This was such a beautiful moment to have this Goldman Sachs puppet. But it's good to be a puppet of the banks. I mean, they're the ones that are exempt from the communism but give it to us. It's just so wonderful. Huge traffic jams just all over town as the gracious leader with all of the armored vehicles and all of the rest of it came into town. It was just a fabulous moment for America because, after all, this is the group, this is the organization, these are the people that make it all possible. Without government, nothing would exist. So I just want to continue thanking all the businesses that shut down yesterday, as the Statesman reported. A whole bunch of businesses, more than 10 major bus routes shut down. But the peasants, I mean, you're just cogs in the state. You mean nothing compared to the great minds up above you. That's got a big carbon footprint, but that's okay. Prince Charles has dozens of jet aircraft, over 100 palaces, but he says old women shouldn't be able to take hot baths because more money needs to be able to be paid to him. And I agree with that. I mean, I'm beginning to realize that, again, take North Korea. I mean, you got to have seven-story pleasure palaces and film stars being kidnapped for Kim Jong-il to rape. I mean, literally. I mean, this is, what he needs because he's a great leader. His father was a great leader. Now the grandson is an incredible commando. Can we put Kim Jong-un? This is a great person. There he is. I mean, what? The supreme leader of North Korea. Millions every few years starve to death and die. And again, the main meat in the countryside for the middle class, the tiny communist class that serves the tiny elite, is human flesh. I mean, that's Mao Zedong, the same heaven. Pol Pot claimed he was anti-communist, the same heaven. Barry Satoru, drones kill. Oh, Joseph Stalin. I mean, our own media called him Uncle Joe Stalin. Here's a photo Du showed me, and we saw this a few years ago and confirmed its authenticity. Give us free health care, jobs, no taxes, house food. You owe us, America. We will shoot you. We will shoot more police in Arizona until we get free. So there you have it. I think that is here's the documents right over here. I think that is a great system. That's what Obama was saying. None of your employers are any good workers. The state wants to team up with you and just absolutely create an immediate heaven for you right now, like they have in North Korea and other places. Continuing here, a very real danger of collapse could be so severe, I don't think our civilization could survive it. Mark Salvo has all these quotes. Similar things are being said by, I saw an article on Yahoo with Peter Schiff saying, crash worse than 08, sustained. But again, that's impossible because even an implosion is part of the great global estate coming into being here. Oh, here's some great news, ladies and gentlemen. Comrade Obama has doubled the amount of people on welfare since the implosion of the economy 4 years ago as we went into bankster receivership. More Americans on government dole than found jobs. Super news. Or again, they can be collectivized now in this re-education program to now be used against the evil landowners and small business owners, the main enemy of our, the main enemy of our gracious communist collectivist takeover with fascism exempt from it all at the global order level. See, it goes communism at the bottom and then fascism above that, but they're exempt. Senator Jeff Sessions, the ranking Republican on the budget panel, said that since 2008, the onset of the latest economic recession, 3.6 million Americans have gone on disability and 1.3 million have lost jobs. There's another report here, even Politico, that is properly reverent of our dear gracious leader. Even they engaged in treason. Watch them closely. This is dangerous. I mean, they are definitely involving themselves in the reality-based community, and that allows the enemy of BB, Big Brother, Double Plus Good, to have a victory. President Obama's job panel missing in action, and that they're just not doing anything to stimulate jobs. Well, yes, they are. In China, $22 billion to ship General Motors, Volt, and Cadillac and other factories there in Brazil. But to make sure that actually their wages lower there, places like Brazil. That's a great plan. I think it's good. I mean, you've got to implode everything. You got to crack a few eggs and make an omelet. Of course, you never really find an omelet. It's all about cracking eggs. That's the beauty of total state. New World Order, I'm asking for a job here. I just really want to hang out with Kim Jong-il. I mean, I'm going to be honest, folks. I lie awake at night wishing I could just be in the presence of a little stunted, pot-bellied, weak, oily, insane person with a bunch of crazed-eyed generals behind him, total sycophants, spiritual vampires. It's just so hellish. Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I've not been listening to NPR enough. I was starting to go back to the old Alex Jones. Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry, Kim Jong-un. I'm sorry, sir. Can we just put an image of the late Kim Jong-il on screen, please? No, I want Kim Jong-il up there. He's dead. I'm so sorry. And if he didn't go out and properly cry, they were sent to forced labor camps. We'll have to run. If he would have only had more drones and Chang'an. Why isn't the government takes over? They can't even make automobiles, but they can build giant death camps. All right, I'm sorry. This has been a very special day for me. I mean, I endorsed Obama yesterday, as you know, and the process is now just, I mean, I'm just, he just cares about me. Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, thank you, God, it's so good. I'm no longer racist. I now love Lenin and Stalin and Obama. I'm evil because I'm white. Oh, God, it's so good to hate myself now. Oh, God, America's collapsing as well. The jobs are leaving. Oh, God, it's good. Oh, excuse me. Oh, my God. Oh, my leader. Oh, look how handsome he is. And you know, citizens there, they don't have guns. Only the people, because, I mean, they could resist him if they had guns. Only the soldiers can. Now, that's a rendition of our dear leader. Can I see the real one? I mean, pull up North Korean soldiers or police. Oh, there's a good one down there. Right there, him with the military. No, over to the right there. Just look at the looks in their eyes. Oh, man. And I notice globalist propaganda posters that we see in TV ads for the military and stuff. It's just like North Korea. Look, blow it up. Show people a close-up of that. I want them to see the look. I mean, the pleasure of all those guys just worshiping to think it didn't be near the power. And, of course, only one can be trusted to have a gun near him. I was wondering how Saddam could go out and speak to 10,000 people with no bodyguards, everybody firing machine guns. But here, you know, they disarm the military when the Secretary of Defense goes to speak to them. Oh, how beautiful. Oh, and the NSA is spying on us in real time. It's now admitted. Oh, totally illegal. Oh, well, so what? Government's God. Just look at that God right there. I mean, just look at how he just stands there, just slathering the power. Oh, my God, he is so handsome and stylish and cool. And America's getting more and more like that every day. He'll tell you over there, the state's what makes it happen. They sing songs there about, the state made the birds sing. I saw an angel, it was Kim Jong-il. I'm not joking. And it's like, ha, 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 ha. And everyone has to dance for hours. I love you, I love you, I love you, you love me. Kim Jong and I are happy family. And I'm just engaging in extremism, not liking big government. I apologize. Oh, that Thomas Jefferson. Who would want to hang out with him? Who said that when the government fears the people, there's liberty. When the people fear the government, there's tyranny. Imagine that trash taking on the greatest empire ever, outnumbered at least 10-1 and defeating them after a 7-year war. Imagine being able to speak 6 languages in Latin and inventing things like Benjamin Franklin. No, I mean inventing machines and discovering electricity and hundreds of patents and writing dozens of books and wanting human liberty and believing power came from the individual. I mean that's God right there. Obama said it. And any of you that don't worship Obama are traitors, and you will go to the re-education camps that the Army admits they built. Thank God they've got them there. I'm thinking about immigrating right now to North Korea. Right now to North Korea, where there's rainbows and Lucky Charms elves everywhere. And he lays golden eggs. I'm telling you, man. You just go to, sir, can I have a golden egg? And he just lays it. I mean, I just cannot believe that America has gotten just these bitter clingers that want to have their Bibles and their guns and their private property. Listen, your kids are going to take our vaccines and succumb to the super state. It's ours. We can suspend reality, suspend the laws of physics. There is no gravity, of Obama says. That's what Karl Rove said. He said, we'll say whatever you want, you'll buy it. And you know what? I've learned it's true. In fact, I'm floating right now, like Karl Rove said. There's no gravity. Oh, Kim Jong-il, it's so cool. Ba-da-da-da-da. Oh, sir, hello. Oh, look at you. Look at you. You've gone up to heaven to be the leader. Oh, your father was God in heaven, but you flapped up there like a little Pegasus, little Icarus. No, but your wings didn't melt. You just soared up into the sky. Soared up. Oh, look at all your soldiers. Look at how pleased they are. They'll be getting food tonight. Even the upper middle class, which is less than 2%, gets only 1 or 2 meals a day. It's so, I'm sorry, folks, just to be in his presence. I mean, you don't understand it. Just pull up the picture of Kim Jong-il and just contemplate. Just contemplate the elegance, the styling. When he pulls up in his 57 Chevy limo that can barely run, and there's machine guns everywhere and old tanks and acrobats, humans doing what they want with perfect precision, are they sent to re-education camps to work as slaves for 10 years. And next offense, they're killed and cut into ham. Long pork juiciness. I mean, just think of everything government produces, like a river of black pus spewing out at us, and we can just, like little demonic gods, and suck it all down because it's sweet as pie. Oh, God, I'm channeling him. Oh, Kim Jong-il, I love you. Can we, like, heart Kim Jong-il right now? I mean, can we, like, you know, I mean, I just... All right, we better get this done here, all right, let's continue here. Again, I'm continuing in the government worship fest here. Deputies knock on wrong door at 1:30 a.m., shoot and kill man who answered with gun. Well, they didn't say who they were, and they're God, and he says he's a well-known guy in the community, who's a very nice guy, and they killed him, and it's all about the authority of government. It's all about worshiping it. Oh, yeah, a handcuffed man shot twice by San Francisco police, witness reports. Of course, they just confiscate the footage when they shot that other guy, but then footage leaked out. Somebody had a hidden camera. Hey! You join the force to get some, okay? You take out the enemy. That's why they're shutting down the Amish and lemonade stands. Good. Show the American scum. Show the American scum that you're in charge and they're dirt. That's what it's about. Good. Good. I think if they pull you over for no seatbelt, they ought to shoot you in the head, pull your children out, and hack their arms and legs off with hatchets like the UN had people do in Rwanda. Like they should just drag you and your whole family behind the vehicle. Teach you to not submit. Move to the next story. I love Obama. Oh, look, whistleblower. NSA analyzing conversations in real time. It's always been illegal. But that was in the old America with the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Listen, you American pigs. The world government's here now. Okay? And we'll spy on you in real time and use your money to do it. Because the God state says so. Man, what is it going to take for you to learn to submit? And here's the court case, a declaration of Willie E. Binney in support of plaintiff's motion for parallel summary judgment rejecting the government's detainee state secret defense. And all of this goes into the NSA in court, spying on everything in real time, totally. But they said they weren't. Well, the state's got to lie to its enemy, the evil American. I mean, it's got to be done, and it's got to be done right now. India seeks action over UAE boat shooting. Hey, you know what? Let's just say they're Arab, too, and nuke that entire country. I mean, you're always hearing glass parking lot, the entire place. I say nuke the entire earth because Al-Qaeda's on it, except for the Al-Qaeda that our gracious leaders run in Syria and Libya. They're good Al-Qaeda. Okay? So India seeks action over UAE boat shooting. Hey, you know what? They deserved it. Okay, I mean, okay. I mean, Al-Qaeda, you know, it's everywhere. Whatever, they're Hindu or whatever. It's probably Al-Qaeda, too. Hirsch, though, said, a traitor, Pulitzer Prize-winning traitor, said Cheney's office considered disguising Navy SEALs as Iranians to provoke war attacking our own ships. That's how Kim Jong-il would get it done. I mean, that's we're the good guys. I mean, come on, that's... Oh, he's such a great leader, too. You know, for a year and a half, he had a bionic heart that didn't have a pulse. He had no pulse. Man, that's that technology should have been available to Kim Jong-il. All right, let's get to this quote here. Out of these troubled times, our objective, a new world order, can emerge. Today, that new world is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we have known. George Herbert Walker Bush, September 11th, 1990. And finally, I have one other article, Geoengineering Projects Around the World. We covered this some last night, but Bill Gates is announcing that they are going to be dumping tons of toxic chemicals, including sulfur dioxide, on you and your family. But, hey, now the Air Force and Army fly by on C-130s and spray bug poison right on you. I mean, again, if government did it, they don't just make the sunshine. They make the bug poison and barium salts, aluminum dioxide, and sulfur dioxide fall in the sky. And it's such a genius plan of our leaders to have the big seed companies coming out with GMO that can grow in aluminum and stuff as the other plants die from the aluminum. Now, how smart of that is they kill everything and then we've got to buy it from them. Oh, that's why they're in charge. I mean, they're the ones that come up with stuff like this. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I'll say one thing. Our gracious leaders may be even better than Kim Jong-il. Because, you know, they can't even get cars manufactured over there. Our elites can take our money and ingenuity from freedom and spray bug poison on us and geoengineer and cause acid rain. I just think it's beautiful. All right, we're going to go to break and come back and talk to a horrible entrepreneur who has spent 4 years of their own life building some of the most amazing animations ever. It should worship government, Kim Jong-il, Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Pol Pot, Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, V.I. Lenin, Joseph Goebbels, who else did I not mention here? There's been a lot of great, Vlad the Impaler. It doesn't. Oh, God. Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and go to this piece right now, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to come back from break here. Whatever you do, don't. Government needs to take your money and give it to special interest. That's the monopoly way. Do not get a 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv. Do not exercise your free will and support us financially. Do not spread the word about this show. Do not pass this video on. Just let them raise the taxes and fines and fees on you and run your life, okay? Because that is the new American way, where the old American way is bad, and I'm getting with the times. And we'll be right back.
Christy Hightower here for PlanetInfoWars.com, bringing you your weekly Patriots Are Talking update. Every day, I get more and more excited to see how you Planet InfoWars users are utilizing things like events and missions within groups to come together and share knowledge, or reading your articles where you're sharing your research and your passions. For example, user Paul wrote an article this past week called Activism, Grassroots Activism, and he provides a short explanation for why and how you can exercise your civil rights. Or even on a different subject matter, if you're looking for how plants can heal you and help your health, you should check out Galen's article detailing 5 great herbs for your skin. Lavender, I think, is among them. And also, lastly, a reminder that we are paying attention to your well-written, well-cited articles. Melissa Melton actually has an article from Planet InfoWars titled CDC Pushes Measles Vaccine. And we've now featured it on the front page of InfoWars.com. So if you keep great articles coming like that at us, I guarantee you you'll get there too. So thanks again for all of your hard work and keep the knowledge flowing. Till next time, Patriots.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Here it is from HelioFont, I Pet Goat 2, and then we'll be back with the maker to decode its secrets. simply breathtaking. That is iPetGoat 2. And the gentleman that made it is going to be joining us here via video Skype in just a moment. His production house is Heliophant, and you can go to heliophant.com. He's worked on many movies like The Spirits Within, Final Fantasy. He worked on The Doctor that I think was the best animated in there. In fact, Rob Dew was pointing that out before we went on air here. And he is also someone who worked on Gollum for the Lord of the Rings film. Just an amazing artist and spent years putting together what you just saw. The archetypal images in it, a lot of people had projected onto it their own thoughts, their own ideas, and they say the most powerful art out there is basically designed to do that. Some people have said it's satanic and it's programming us. That reminded me of when I consulted on A Scanner Darkly for Richard Linklater and Winona Ryder, Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson, a bunch of others are in it. I'm also in the film. And it's got Illuminati imagery all over it. But it was there to expose the Illuminati. It's hidden in plain view that, hey, the bad guys are the Illuminati or whatever. And people are saying, oh, my gosh, it's subliminal Illuminati. No, subliminal means it's too quick for the conscious mind to see it. Now, Louis Lefebvre is joining us now. From a city north of Montreal. He's a 3D animator, director, and entrepreneur, and he joins us. Very excited to have him on. Again, you just saw the piece. We're going to analyze it here. Well, Louis, do you need to be burned at the stake? Is this actually satanic programming? Why did you produce this? What is the message that you see in it?
Well, first, thank you for having me, Alex.
Thank you.
All symbolism can be invested with whatever meaning you want to project on them. Symbolism is a language. So the elite obviously use it in a kind of degrading way to degrade the human spirit. And they've kind of co-opted all symbolism. It's like, regular humans don't have much knowledge of symbolism and so they don't understand it. They can't really decipher it. And we've been led to believe that all symbolism is just negative and evil, but it's not, it's just whatever we want to put into it, whatever meaning we want to put into it. And in my film, the thing that people get stuck on the most, I've noticed, is the triangle on the Christ figure and also the eye on the Christ figure on his forehead. And for me, the eye placed on the forehead represents inner vision. So it's clear spiritual insight. For the Illuminati or, the elite, when it's used, for example, on the dollar bill, it represents, a total control freak surveillance society. And it's the same thing. That's what the pyramid means. It's every layer manipulating the layer below it, and giving the people at the apex incredible control. And the eye is about being everywhere and just seeing everything. So it's about total surveillance. Whereas what I tried to put it, I tried to redress those symbols. And so I have it on the Christ figure. The triangle means God. It means the Trinity. And eye means spiritual insight. And then you have the crown of thorns. To me, what that represents, the crown of barbed wires, is the way we are manipulated, and it's kind of like a war on consciousness. So you'll notice that the crown is between the triangle and the eye, so it's kind of like a barrier between my spiritual insight and the divine. And at the end, that crown disappears. So it's like, oh, finally, I have clear spiritual insight. I can see my creator.
Well, that's what I got, and I've never talked to you until now. We set you up for the show, and we talked a few minutes before we went live here, but I've never talked to you about what your incredible piece of art means. It's right up there with Fantasia, the original. But looking at it, I see it as a person's journey with Christ through life, seeing all the different evil, seeing the different, you know, the sex trade, the torture, the war machines, the devil snake system that looks out of the television, preying on people, programming them. And then, the individual who's traveling, you know, basically with Christ, symbolizing that flame that you've got the Holy Spirit, that's not really Jesus, that's the individual, you know, with the spiritual connection to Christ, comes out into a wider universe, and all of that was just Plato's cave behind him. And of course, there's much deeper symbolism than that, but is that a accurate representation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He represents a flame, and so it's a fire. And I don't know if you recall that, you know, John the Baptist had baptized in water, and he said of Jesus that Jesus would baptize in fire. So I don't see that it's inappropriate.
It doesn't matter. Anything powerful is going to freak people out that go to these globalist program churches who are taught to love world government, and they worship six-foot icicle preachers. So, of course, they're upset by it because it's moving, it's powerful. What gave you the idea? Because I've never talked to you before, but I feel like I know you just watching this. I mean, you've got Bush in there animated. You even captured kind of his demonic spirit, you know, with the kids acting like he doesn't know what's coming. It cuts to Obama, and then he suddenly looks into the universe, symbolized by, you know, creation with a flower. Am I right there? Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your view, your awakening.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff. But basically, the film came to me in a place of suffering. So it was all the things that I had lived personally, and you know, the materialism that I had experienced in different realms in my life that I had also contributed to. So not just put on me, but also, you know, I had gotten involved in it as well. So it was about that place of suffering. And it just felt like this film for me was a sort of lifeline, a way for me to go into my own fears. And I think that that's what I've seen in people, is it brings up a lot of stuff. It just kind of stops the mental programming, and then just kind of goes right viscerally, and people have a hard time with it. And I can understand, because I went through the same questioning. You know, I had those fears. I saw this. I kept seeing the Christ figure on his boat, and I was like, and that was what was coming up for me. It felt like I had to do this film, and I was resisting it because I was terrified in a way, because I know what the programming is. I know what the fear is. I know what Christians believe, and I know those fears intimately. So it was, but it was an invitation to go beyond those fears and go deeper into the question and go deeper into my own fears and into my own limitations and transcend those fears. So that's what it was for me. This was a real journey. Say a spiritual journey for me. It was wonderful.
Every image, I mean, when I see it there on screen while you're talking, we're playing some clips of it, just conjures up all these archetypes. And you know, when you're showing Shiva or, you know, other, you know, archetypes, we see the images of women, in the walls. It's all right there. But I'm somewhat, from research and study, more conscious than a lot of average people. I can see how someone who's very unconscious, this is almost like a big bucket of ice water being thrown on them to awaken them. And so I can see they've been so programmed by the globalists that are aware of what they're doing, that when you release something so in your face, just congratulations, you've got people thinking.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was a real, spiritual journey for me, but I'm glad it's helping people, to have a discussion about it. I think it's important. We have so many walls between, different ideological systems, and I'm hoping this just kind of breaks down some of those walls. And, I guess that would be the best outcome. You know, but I can't control how people interpret it. It's not really my business what they interpret out of it, obviously. So I'm just doing what I can.
How long did it take you to put this together?
It took me about 5 years in all. It took 4 years to, I'd say, full time. So from 2008 to now, I've been working on it full time. But before that, I was working on it part time for maybe 3 years. So, you know, like cobbled together, maybe make another year. So 5 years in all about. And I've had people helping me since 2008. I've hired, you know, people off and on a kind of contractual basis, you know, mostly friends. And some of them, sometimes they'd work freelance from home. Sometimes they'd actually, the last year I've had a guy coming in, a good friend of mine coming in, 3 days a week, helping me out with the special effects, the snow, the, you know, the smoke, the water, all these things. But I did most of the animation, actually did all the animation of the characters and did all the modeling as well and the rigging and the lighting. But all the special effects were done by, well, not all, but most of the special effects were done, which is, you know, for people who don't know what that means exactly, it's, like I said, it's the snow, it's the water, the fire, the smoke. All these things were done by mostly by freelance artists. And I've had a couple of matte painters, which is the backdrops, the you know, the skies and that kind of thing, help me out as well. And I've also hired a couple dancers. I had one girl, because I went into a motion capture studio for some of the animation, like half of the animation is motion capture, like we've seen, I'm sure a lot of the viewers have seen on Gollum. So a lot of the motion capture was done, a lot of the animation was done through motion capture, and the motion capture was done at a studio, a dance studio, actually a dance faculty at a university here in Montreal. And I hired one tap dancer and one kind of modern breakdance dancer to do the little American Indian dancer. So that's about the process, yeah.
Louis Lefebvre is our guest. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen in modern times such a labor of love with the, this many graphics, this much energy and time put into something, because obviously the time to render, the time to draw it, the time to put it together, for those that don't know, I mean, even for a big company, this would be a major, major undertaking. So I can, I think you're saying you were already awake, but you really awoken, you know, to what was happening in the world, and that this is, you know, kind of your masterwork or something that, you know, symbolizes the beginning of what will become your masterwork.
Who knows? I don't know where it's going to go, but basically, I think because it was the Jesus, or well, it's not the Jesus, it's like Christ consciousness, as I see it. But I mean, if you want to see it as Jesus, that's wonderful as well. I mean, I think that's, like you said, it's open to interpretation. But because it was that character, I felt obviously a lot of, I put a lot of pressure on myself because I felt like I didn't want to do it disrespect. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the teaching of Jesus Christ. So I felt I just have to do it, you know, some justice. I can't just be disrespectful with it. But, you know, unfortunately for some people, it still has failed, and it's...
Wouldn't let that distract you. I mean, you're exposing evil here. You're getting people to think, waking them up out of their trance. I love how you have Osama bin Laden in the CIA... a commando outfit. I mean, obviously, from what I've gotten from these views, you're obviously questioning the official narrative of 9/11.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I started this piece, it wasn't really, I didn't know much about it. Like I said, it started about 2005. It was starting to come together in my head. And at that time, I didn't know anything about 9/11, like as far as a conspiracy. I just knew it as a time of sadness, obviously, and a marking point in our timeline. Obviously, what I see it as now, it's obvious to me now, just looking at it, like, wait, false. Plus, I have an engineering background. I studied in engineering, so, but it doesn't make me an expert. But still, when I look at those two buildings falling today, it's just like, oh my God, how did I ever think it was not a controlled demolition? And but what I see it now as, you know, with my research in symbolism, which I didn't know much about when I started the film, I can now see that it's a ritual, as it's a ritual about, it's kind of a way to say, look, this is what's going to happen to your economy, because those two towers are a symbol of the economy. And when they crumbled, it was like, we will implode your economy. And you watch as you watch your economy crumble. So that's what it means.
Exactly. As I've studied the Illuminati, who really are the opposite of what they say, they seek to create darkness but then call themselves illuminated because they're going to be illuminated but you're going to be in darkness. That, well, it's basic magic. They have to engage in the lesser magic of telling you what they're going to do up front. And so the mojo is a trillion times more powerful when they actually do it. So they have to almost count coup before they do it. That's why on Fox TV, they had the government hijack a jet by remote control to fly it in the World Trade Center. They make NORAD stand down because of a drill. They say hijackers are on board, but it's really remote control because they want to attack Afghanistan and take American liberties. That aired 6 months before. And then it turned out hundreds of publications and outfits did the same thing, and they were all literally beating the drum, getting everyone ready to then do this. And then Warren Buffett had over 100 top CEOs flown that morning to already meet with him in a hangar at Moffett or Offutt Air Force Base. I mean, all of this, and then the CIA drills, and then the heads of Al-Qaeda meeting at the Pentagon secretly, and the bin Ladens being flown out. It's important to them at multi-layers to let those of us that are conscious and awake but not serving them, because there's people that are conscious but they serve the dark side, they're only partially conscious, or they know what a fool's errand that is because they love death and destruction, but they need to reveal it before they do it. And again, even if you don't believe in that stuff, viewers, this is what they believe. Comments on that. Again, we're talking to the creator of iPet Goat 2. You can watch it at heliofont.com, heliofant.com. Just amazing. Go there and certainly support the work he's doing. Support independent media and research and, you know, things like this, because this is a major studio undertaking. You've done it with just yourself and a handful of others. But anyways, I'm ranting. What do you make of what I just said about this revelation of the method,
I don't know about that. Like, I'm learning this, as I go along, you know. I don't know what their intention is, but it's gotten pretty blatant. And, so I think this film is about taking that symbolism that they have and throwing it back in their face. Like, I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. And, like I said, I started the process where I didn't know much about it. And I'm learning as I go along. What's wonderful is I've read so many articles and stuff on, you know, conspiracy websites and other websites and people that know symbolism, people that know a lot more symbolism than I do, and telling me about symbolism that I didn't even know about in my film, which is kind of, you know, interesting. And so I just, you know, I'm learning as I go along. But certainly, you know, I think you know more about a lot of it than I do. I mean, I learned what I learned about conspiracy, actually. A lot of it I learned through the web, through people like you. At one point during when I had started making the film, I think I told one of your crew members, sometimes I actually tune in just to I get kind of down sometimes because I was all along my corner and I felt like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is crazy. I'm crazy. What is this? And I just kind of tune in and just have it just kind of boost me up to like, okay, yeah, this is important.
Sure, because the system's all about isolating us, like that scene with the character who's laying there and doesn't even have their own mind and is almost in a waking dream or hallucinating, and then there's the snake plugged into their brain, almost sucking their brain or feeding off the fact that they're unconscious, and then being able to tune in and hear all the other callers and guests lets you know that there's a giant growing community of people who are discovering deeper layers of reality.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like it's an organic process, and it's wonderful just to just kind of go online and read all these comments and see how it has stimulated debate. You know, a lot of people have gotten the meaning of what I was trying to say, and that's been very encouraging. And I think
when did you release this?
It was like the 23rd, I mean, June, the end of June, 23rd or 24th, I think we finished, and we had a kind of a little rap party with friends and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that shows how things grow organically, sometimes fast, sometimes slow, sometimes in between. I didn't hear about this for a couple weeks after that until last week. And then since then, I'm just looking around doing research separately and seeing it pop up everywhere, positive, negative, everything in between, causing debate. And so it seems to just be really picking up steam. That's got to be a satisfying, very, very satisfying feeling. Have you had any, quote, mainstream or dinosaur media contact you about it yet?
Well, I've had, you know, like mostly it's been 3D magazines and 3D sites that have wanted interviews. And I've just submitted an article to a place in Colombia, of all places, for a journal that's actually given freely in the metro stations. So it's the same company actually that we have in Montreal that distributes these free, you know, magazines with news and stuff like that. And so I submitted an article to them, and I need to do one also for a guy in Britain that does a lot of more mainstream journalism. I don't know if he'll like my answers, though, because he seems to think I did this only for publicity, like that the conspiracy aspect is only a gimmick to try to generate talk, and that it wasn't actually meant... I didn't actually mean what I was saying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, notice how they do something to promote the new Batman movie. It's clearly exploitive. It's clearly hype, but that's okay. But then when we bring up something political that obviously is being driven by what we believe, but, yeah, we put it out so it has an effect so that we actually are able to reach out to people, that somehow is dirty. And that's the system trying to gatekeep the innate power of humans to communicate through art.
Yeah, well, like you said, it seems to be the media is on a downward spiral. People are tuning out. They can see the conditioning. That's kind of reflected in the character that you were mentioning before, the serpent with the television head. That's the media, the mesmerizing, and the I think I read a book by Michael Tsarian about the. I think he called them the word media actually came from Medes, which was a place in Persia, as I recall. And the Medes were actually, there were a lot of sorcerers that were consulted by the kings and queens and other powers.
Yeah, that's where we get the term medium, calling a medium to talk to the spirit world, yeah.
That's right. So it's this, which indicates a source, a kind of sorcery, a kind of a magician's trick, and certainly that's kind of what the media is. It's always trying to brainwash us, trying to keep us in a certain narrative. You know, don't step out of line. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy theorist. Don't say what you believe. You know, people will think you're crazy or you're, you know, whatever. It's so that's represented in that character there, and obviously the head of his name is Draco, that character, the snake character, and the head in the television. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's got all the symbols of money on his face and on his beard. It's all like dollar bills and stuff like that, and his eyebrows are actually taken from the dollar bill. And so he kind of represents the monetary system or the banking system acting through the media. And the snake part of him is actually can mean many things. I've read that the snake can represent technology, can represent obviously medicine. And so he's acting through all these things to keep the little Ludovic character that I called him. I called him Ludovic. And so he's acting through all these things to keep this little character in a sedated state.
Going back to the Christ figure, I mean, it's almost like coming out of the womb or a rebirth or a death and a rebirth coming out of that darkness. And it's on the, you know, boatman, I guess Choron, or not even Greek, going back to the Egyptian. But there is no boatman. It's just the boat itself is taking him across the river. But instead of death, it's rebirth.
Right. It's a form of resurrection, right? The motif of resurrection was really important in, you know, Greek
mythology. Well, wasn't Christ in the Bible sent to hell to get the keys to death and slavery? It's almost like Christ is going through.
That's right. So, I mean, and in Egyptian symbology, we have the sun god Ra in his boat, Anapa, and he travels the sky in his celestial boat, and he illuminates the sky, and in the evening, he goes into the underworld, and he's there during the night, and in the morning, he rises again, and so it's a form of resurrection, and the Anubis boat, which is Anubis is a Greek god, but based off of an earlier Egyptian god called Anapa, and this is a deity that is guarding the gates of the underworld, and he weighs the souls of men and their hearts to and protects the souls of men as they travel through the underworld. And so I think it's a fitting image. But as I told you, I put the Christ figure in the center of the narrative, I think, to redress some of those.
Sure. And expanding on that, I mean, the point is that just because people thinking, because this, you know, gets off into, like, you know, the wider world and all these archetypes. But I noticed that when the Christ figure comes out, too, we see a big pyramid in the distance collapse.
Right. Well, let's see. The main theme of the movie is basically the crumbling of the hierarchical world. And the awakening of the hearts of men, you know, standing alone in their relationship to God without having any sort of intermediaries. And so the hearts of men awaken, and the world serving those hearts instead of trying to dominate them, instead of trying to control and oppress. And so the crumbling pyramid at the end is just the crumbling of the hierarchical structure and this oppressive type of hierarchical structure. Obviously, there's always going to be some sort of hierarchy in organizations, but it won't be this manipulation, domination type of hierarchy. And you'll notice that the character is in a boat, the Christ character, and he just kind of sails through the scene, and he's witnessing, and he's actually not creating this. He's not destroying the pyramids. It's the sun that destroys the pyramids. The sun in the movie is representative of the divine, the source, the God, you know. It doesn't mean I'm a sun worshiper. I'm not trying to promote sun worshiping. I've never thought.
No, I understand. You know, it's all archetypal. But I mean, I think the most powerful imagery is the CIA dealing drugs, you know, the big black army tanks, the drones, the programming, Bush dancing around. What did you mean by, I guessed at it, but what is Obama doing in the scene when he looks at the flower?
I think it embodies a lot of things, but to me, it's like, the little girl is holding this apple, and it represents all these kind of inward divisions that are cultivated in us to always, to keep us in our place so that we are always feeling shame or inadequacies or guilt. And, you know, it's a symbol of sin, obviously. So we're always feeling this guilt, and so we're stuck. And we're stuck in a, like the little children behind her, we're held down by barbed wire and they're apathetic. So it's a That's what the apple represents to me. And then she just kind of drops it because she realizes, you know, I'm sick of this. And she's watching the spectacle in front of her, so she's just tired. She just drops the apple, and it just kind of rolls down, you know, at the feet of ones that came, and it just kind of splits open. And to me, that's a symbol of kind of duality, of being caught up in the left-right, in the, you know, Christian, Muslim, male, female, always fighting, always...
Clash of civilizations, controlled clash, chaos.
And spinning in our minds, that, you know, that's the duality. And then, you know, the checkerboard is also representing duality, the black and white. And then there's also a symbol of a zero and a one, and that's, you know, that's the binary system, so duality. And then the flower comes out, and the flower joins the two halves, and it comes out. And that's a symbol to me of unifying those two polar opposites and seeing it from another perspective, from above. So it's kind of like an awakening to that split mind.
Sure. Well, men and women aren't, you know, individually the species. It is the two together. And then that's what creation comes out of. I mean, that's all just, again, yeah.
The harmony of, you know, everyone seeing themselves in the other and you know, finding that common space from that, you know, and not being stuck in the divide so much. And that's kind of the awakening of the of people realizing they have common interests, and the character of Obama is just struck with fear at that point, you know.
You're right, because the people are coming together and waking up. And the way you caught Bush's mannerisms and the way you got Obama's fake, you know, friendly mannerisms, you really have done an incredible job. I want to thank you for the work you've done, you know, in trying to wake people up to 9/11 being an inside job. I mean, right there is important. Tell us about where Heliofont goes from here, heliofont.com, and any other points you'd like to make here, Louis.
Well, I don't know where the journey is going to take me. Obviously, it was a lot of time and very draining, very, you know, financially and physically, but very happy with the result, very happy I've done it. So I don't know where it's going to go from here. It's not a incredible revenue generating model, to be honest, but we'll see where we go from here. I'm getting a lot of feedback, a lot of opportunities to maybe work on, you know, more commercial stuff. I don't know if I'll do that or if I'll, you know, just...
But like you said, you'd already done that in some of the biggest movies out there. This was a long labor of love. I mean, I guess almost in a pious way or a cogitive way, you committed for 4 years to this, put everything you had into it. It's almost a rebellion against commercialism and materialism. I mean, because that's what you were kind of alluding to earlier.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit of a, I wouldn't say pious, but... it was a monastic enterprise.
That's what I should say. I mean, that was the word I was actually looking for. It's funny you'd say that, almost like priestly. Yeah, often the
Definitely. Well, I think
that's the word cogitive, like a cogitor up in a
Right, but I think a lot of people that have work in 3D have that temperament. You know, they're always at the computer and all that. So, you know, but I'm not sure where it will go from here. I can't remember the last part of your question.
Well, that's because I always have these long-winded ones. No, just like any other points you'd like to make. I mean, after we're done doing this interview, if you think, I wish I would have said this, or...
Not really, no. I really enjoyed the interview, and I'm happy to just get my point out as well, which is, you know, the first time where I've explained some of the symbolism. I'm going to probably... update today, maybe tomorrow or Friday, I'm not sure. I'm going to start explaining some of it from my view. It's not necessarily, because I don't want it to be too fixed. You know, everyone can kind of put what they want onto the work. But a lot of people have been asking me the same questions. And so I'm going to explain some of the stuff I've mentioned with you. I'm going to put on the website and, you know, just start a discussion that way and see where it goes from there. So.
I have a few final questions popping in my head. I mean, we got sex slavery with the old lady in the cage. Is that what that is?
Yeah, well, that for me, yeah, that can be a lot of things, but it's not necessarily slavery. You know, it's suffering around the sexual issues. So it can be, you know, like in the beginning, she's looking down. So it can be a sort of, you know, overindulgence in sex, or maybe it's also an obsession with sex, or maybe it's also an obsession with repressing sex, you know, kind of that old nun that's, you know, you can't have sex, you can't, you know.
Or vanity almost, like people get obsessed with how they look.
Right, as well, because that I think it, for some people, they've told me, it brings up the fear of, you know, getting old and, you know, not pleasing anymore, not being able to have sex, and so she's getting old. So I think it brings up a lot of stuff for people that way. But basically she goes through the piece where she's kind of looking down and then she gets, you know, she's in a kind of a shameful place because it's dingy and dark. And you'll notice that on her skirt she has these, vine leaves, so it's almost like that shame of the Garden of Eden, and she's in her prison, so it's kind of a place of suffering, you know. And at the end, she just kind of, you know, it gets inundated with light, so it just, you know, just gets purified by light, by connection with spirit. And at the end, she kind of looks up, and it's almost like she had sex with God, really, you know, like she looks up, and she's kind of purified in a way.
Funny you say that, because, I mean, growing up, obviously women are beautiful, passionate, like super desire for them. As I get more into the universe and liberty and freedom and all the incredible things around me, quite frankly, sex does not have the power it had over me. But I guess that's because I'm older now. I mean, it's almost like something that I've been there, done that, and it's still interesting. I mean, I'm a great wife, three children, but it's just not, you know, it's not as exciting as, you know, my French bulldog sitting in my lap, or going fishing, or hiking up a mountain, or kissing my wife. You know, I mean, it's almost like, people that are completely obsessed with it, it's almost like they're stunted by it.
Right. Yeah. Well, the point is, you know, if you're, I think the point is if you're in a place of suffering, and you're, you know, if it's an escape or something like that, and you're in a place of suffering, you're not allowed to have it because of your religious ideas and stuff like that, there can be a lot of suffering around sex. I thought it was important to put it in the piece. Well, I didn't even think about it. It just kind of visually came
to me.
Well,
sure, like in the porn industry, I read about how unhappy those people are. I was talking to a filmmaker who was doing a documentary on it. He said that a lot of those people are just totally unhappy.
I guess a lot of people can be. I guess, you know, I'm sure there are some exceptions, like there are exceptions in everything. And
oh, yeah, no. Yeah, there are some people, I guess, that, I mean, just, again, it brings up a wide spectrum, almost like a cornucopia, the whole light spectrum of ideas. Just amazing.
Well, yeah, I guess that's hopefully the point, that it doesn't feel too dogmatic, you know, because that's kind of what the church crumbling at the end is pointing to. You know, maybe some of the dogma needs to fall away, and we just kind of reconnect with our heart, our direct heart connection with the
Well,
source.
I mean, look, all these so-called Christians say the church is God and give it all this money and stuff, but Christ was there criticizing the Pharisees, overturning the money changers' tables.
Absolutely. So it's good sometimes to re-question all this stuff, for sure.
All right, well, we're going to continue to watch the website. I know as soon as we end this interview, I'm going to have like 10 more questions. Here's my last one. The black tanks are driving up, and the character is waving the white flag. What happens there?
Well, obviously, it's a sign of kind of a reference to Tiananmen Square. So she just kind of represents the Asian sphere, I guess, because she's got that tiger on her back, so it's the Asian tiger, and it's just that I guess it could represent a lot of things. I thought about maybe it represents China, you know, like that repressive regime, or, you know, she's also got like some nuclear anti-nuclear symbol on her cheek, so it could have to do, you know, a bit to do with Japan and how that's being repressed, all that terrible radiation seeping out, and they're not allowed to talk about it. You know?
And then who is that comes over to her, that skeleton character? Who is he?
Someone told me that's the character of, like, voodoo, but personally, that's not what I had in mind. It was just death, you know? Like, she she's valiantly trying to combat the system, and yet death creeps up on her, and she has to submit, you know, in the end.
You better get your work done right now while you're here and alive. And I mean, I'm just asking, I mean, obviously that's what I got was Tiananmen Square.
Right, yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious. And a lot of people, you know, I've seen a lot of comments of people online say, you know, it's kind of heavy-handed but, you know, yeah, they're right. It is heavy-handed in a lot of ways, but... Then again, you know, I look at reality and the way politicians and the media and everything, it's starting to get pretty heavy-handed as well.
No, it's gotten extreme, and it's telling us don't get extreme so that we don't have power. Louis Lefebvre, amazing job, and I can't wait to see what you make next. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks very much, Alex.
Thank you. Is that the best website to visit, heliofont.com?
Yeah, you can go right to heliofont.com, and then we're having some issues. There's been so many people on the site. It's kind of waning right now, but a lot of people on the site, and we're having a bit of difficulty meeting up with demand, but we're trying to figure that out and trying to get that redressed. So hopefully we'll have something better soon. But they can go to that site, and then they'll see the video, the Vimeo feed immediately when they come in, and they can click on Vimeo if they want it in bigger, and they'll be redirected to Vimeo's site, and they can see it bigger if they want, you know, better quality and all that. So,
all right, Louis Lefebvre, amazing artist, and people can claim you're the devil if they want, but there's no doubt that you're an amazing artist. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Alex.
Wow. Well, very, very powerful, ladies and gentlemen, and it gets you thinking. The really devilish propaganda out there does the opposite. It just sneaks up. Oh, a football game. Oh, a commercial. Oh, but then buried in it are the archetypes and the programming and the messages. That's what's seriously corrupt out there. So, certainly thought provoking. And, hey, if you think you can do better, dedicate yourself to something like that, and let's see what you can come up with, because Mr. Lefebvre is definitely in the arena. Well, that's it for this extended edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Until tomorrow night, or tomorrow when I'm on the radio, we will see you then, hopefully. Please spread the word about InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, because the system is definitely starting to pay even bigger attention to us, and we are under attack, and we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for all of you. And think of all the artists, all the researchers, all the ideas from a wide spectrum. Doesn't mean we agree with it all, that we bring to you here. This is all about the labor of love. It's all about the passion. It's all about really trying to discover the secrets of the universe and reality. That's what we're doing here. Doesn't mean we have all the answers. Far from it. But we're questing after those answers, and we know we're not going to get it out of the mainstream systems 9 times out of 10. Great job of the crew as usual. I'm Alex Jones signing off.